My name is Dennis Richards. I'm 70 and a half years old. My father had a career in the Air Force, and he retired when I was 12, and then he joined the American Red Cross. So that meant a lot of traveling to a lot of different places, sometimes places he could go and we couldn't, and sometimes places we could all go. And then after 2 years of college in Southern California in the Mojave Desert, I joined the United States Air Force, and I had a 26-year career, so that meant a lot more traveling and a lot of opportunities. I consider myself an amateur musicologist. I have no talent to play musical instruments, though I have tried over the years for a variety of reasons and a variety of locales. My sister and I talk about this a bit. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, 8 and 9 years old, a little older, and we lived in a small air base in southern Spain. That's when I first really remember music. And fortunately, we had an Armed Forces radio station there. Most of what they played were record transcripts of, you know, standard programs, but they did have disc jockeys live. And we certainly remember, that's the first times I really remember hearing rock and roll music. And she and I both talk about that a lot, that when we were at the swimming pool, the GIs who were not working that day would be there sunning themselves, and they'd all have their transistor radios tuned to the only station, and we would hear rock and roll music. And at the time, there was a song by the Tokens, very popular, called Wimaway, In the Jungle, the Mighty Jungle. And in one of my older sister's contemporaries, again, 13, 14 years old, we would remember him singing in the shower, and the sound would reverberate out into the pool area. And I just remember that, and she and I both talk about that. And one of the other things, and again, she is 4 years older than me, and so she had a very small 45 collection. And one of the ones that I certainly remember, both from sound and just the color of the label, was Telstar, that instrumental song by a British group. Those are two of probably the earliest memories, because my parents really didn't have. I realized later they had a console record player and radio, but they didn't have a big record collection. They might have had some of the buy on subscription Longines Symphonette, you know, those kind of things. So they didn't play it all that often, and the only other one they had was, for some strange reason, a Ray Charles record, Ray Charles and the Raylettes. They did have that. That's really the only records they had. I don't remember them playing that console radio record player, if it was a radio and record player. We had a smaller radio in the kitchen that often my mom and I would listen to, you know, at breakfast time and stuff. But that was more of the radio transcriptions of, you know, I wish I could remember the names. And then late at night, it was the old radio theater and the Inner Sanctum and the scary kind of stuff, non-musical related stuff. But they did have a few records, but very seldom did they even seem to play them. Yeah, it seems to me that it was. And it was more orchestral Ray Charles. I don't know where that record is to this day, and I don't know that I went back and I looked later in life, but that's just the one that stood out from all the others. Often when I hear at least those, a lot of the other songs, and again, my musical journey continued and continued and continued, you know, that sort of way, that it does take me back. But that's probably my first memories of music. There might have been some, maybe when I was 4 or 5 years old at the Air Force Base in Southern California. And again, I don't remember my parents playing the radio or records. And in those days, you didn't have a car radio. We certainly didn't have a car radio. And the only kind of singing I remember is there might have been, especially this is Southern California and Los Angeles, there might have been local kids programs at lunchtime. Like there was a program called Sheriff John, and it was mostly show cartoons and that kind of stuff. But they might have sang a song or something right there in the studio. And I do remember that. I don't know when the switch went from off to on. I really don't. It just seemed to be kind of gradual, you know, and as I reflect on it, it's like, well, okay, then I was here and I was doing this. Oh, and then I was back in Tucson again when my dad was overseas and we couldn't go. And, you know, there was the local radio, but then, gee, I could ride my bicycle, you know, 2 miles to the Walgreens and buy, you know, a record album, or I could, you know, it just became infectious. There's just more and more and more and more, and it was a way to be entertained. I'm not sure. It probably was while I was here in town, one of the times I lived in town in the 60s, probably. But I bought so many. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I got the money to buy so many, but my mom was a soft touch, I suppose, especially with my dad being away. I got allowance money for doing chores, which I usually didn't do. But, and again, living in Midtown, we could drive I could ride my bicycle to the Elkhorn Mall. There was a Singer Sewing Center that sold 45s, and there was a, even closer to this day where I think Whole Foods is now on Speedway across from the Loft, there was a Walgreens, and, I remember, and maybe it was the first album I bought, I don't know, it was when the Beatles' Revolver came out. I bought my mono copy there, and as it happened, the record previous to that in the U.S. called Yesterday and Today, and I bought that as well, and that was the one with the infamous Butcher cover. I did, and I didn't realize till later that I actually had it, and I still have it, and like an idiot, when I took the cover off of it, I didn't do it 100% perfect, but at least I have it.
Yes.
And I have the memories, which are more important. Yeah, and again, I don't remember exactly historically when I realized it was a Butcher cover, et cetera. I just thought I had Yesterday and Today, you know, that kind of stuff. It might have been a few years later that I realized, oh, the Capitol didn't want them to have that release that way, so they covered it up. I didn't really realize it till probably a few years later. I really don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I was probably, I think I was probably, I had just started reading Hit Parader magazine, and you know, and they had reviews of albums in the back and a lot of articles. That's how I started getting interested in the music and stuff. And they might have mentioned it in there. I don't remember. It might have been there or a few years later, when in 66, 67, 67-ish, when I was living in southern New Mexico at the Air Force Base. It's hard to answer that specifically because I think that's always the case. I always learn something later about that. He's like, oh, yeah, I like that. And, you know, something might come up in a later interview, especially for some of the musicians that are still alive and still performing or, you know, still have a catalog that's being reissued. You might hear other stories. And I don't have a large circle of musical friends or friends who like music, but I do have some, and then they may share stories as well. For example, Revolver. And a lot of that, from a commercial standpoint, recently reissued with all of the extra sessions, and it's okay, so you're now hearing it, you know, 9 hours of it with different ears.
Yes.
You know, you have your, I heard it originally in mono back then when I was, you know, 13, 14 years old, going to Doolin Junior High, not middle school, you know, and I had a certain memories from it, but you know, through the years you hear, oh, it's reissued, and then you're hearing bonus tracks, and again, now it's 50 years, and it's, you know, you're hearing it again, or 60 years, and you're hearing it again, and you're hearing it, plus you're also getting more stories about it. I mean, there's a lot of other, you know, writing the life of George Martin, or, you know, this and that. I don't know that it brings me back to those earlier feelings, but it's still nice to listen to sometimes. You know, it really kind of just depends on the song. You know, there's just so many, and for a variety of different reasons, and it might be time-dependent or feelings-dependent, that kind of stuff. But probably just the one that I admire so much for his scope of effort, scope of whatever, is Frank Zappa. Well, this would have been probably in 1967, after my father came back from Vietnam serving the Marines with the American Red Cross, and we moved to Alamogordo, New Mexico, and living on the base, and the records, the BX was right there, easy to get records, and that may have been where I started getting Hit Parader magazine, And as I say, they had the reviews in the back, and I was always, okay, the reviews of the five little record, little snippet paragraph reviews. And there was a review of Absolutely Free, the second Frank Zappa album. I said, I got to hear that. I wonder if they have it in the BX. They did. And I bought that, and I said, well, this is, I'm not smart enough to know what's going on, but it is bizarre enough for me to enjoy it, or to try and enjoy it on repeated listenings, hear something different. And then, of course, from there I went back. I said, the first album was Freak Out. It came out before it was in my, you know, vision. So I bought that, and then just always. Well, again, as I said, for Revolver and stuff, there's, you know, 50th anniversary reissues, and look at it in a different, and a remix, and a whatever, an additional track. So I have listened to it, you know, many times. You know, I don't know if it's, well, it's, how can I remember what it was like in 1967 and what it meant to me? You know, obviously I'm hearing it again, and I'm not so sure that it's taking me back to, you know, 1967. I'm just hearing it again, and I may hear new things in it. I feel good. I don't feel dark. I'm not a goth person, but I don't feel dark. It's like, oh yeah, okay, that's right. Okay, the singing cynic, as he was once called. You know, I like that. You know, he had his own path, and it, you know, I've just music for, you know, 60 years. You know, and there's just so much you can acquire, especially these days. There's just, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. Sometimes there's not enough time to listen to the entire new song or a reissue of a song or something. I think everybody has their own answer to that, and I'm not so sure that I right now have an answer why music is so important to me. But perhaps as I look back on it, it was a way to be entertained I may not have. The places I lived and always moving around didn't always have lots of friends and lots of opportunities to do this and that. It was another way to have a friend, a musical friend, you know, something to entertain me or be entertained by.